Good evening, good afternoon, everyone, on this rainy evening. I must admit, I don't mind the rain right now when you curl up in bed and you hear it on the window. I like that.
Sound romantic.
Sorry?
You sound romantic.
It's going to be a short one tonight. Like I said, because my throat is not great. It's going to be a short one tonight. And the last time I did this, I told a story and I came from the angle of like a Mission Impossible. So it was kind of a dramatization, which is quite exciting. I don't know who was here, if you remember it, about Ahad and how he stabbed the guy in his belly. And the knife got left in there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So, I've got another one for you. But this one is kind of a sad thriller. This one is kind of a sad one. And when you read this story, there's a lot of self-reflection in it. Because as a church, especially as a last day church, and how we cling to being Adventists, we need to remember that us knowing the Bible and living by the doctrines of the church, unfortunately, that doesn't save us. Are we on the same page?
You prayed already?
No, not yet. I haven't prayed yet. Okay. So I just want us to be mindful of this story, that we understand that just because we are Christians, or we claim to be Christians and we claim to live by the doctrines of the church, that will not save us. It is Jesus Christ himself who will save us. So be mindful of that. So that is what I will be talking about tonight. And the topic will be an eye to the great chance, an eye to the great chance. Let us pray. Oh, wonderful Father in heaven, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to use your words for our life source and examples within our lives. I pray that you will help me, Lord, to say this message, because you know my throat is not well. I am not feeling 100%. And I pray that these words, Father God, will not be my own, and they will reach where they need to. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Right. So we're going to be looking at the story is encapsulated in 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to chapter 5 to 27. So that's 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1 to chapter 5 verse 27. So I'm hoping everyone has their Bible, because I'm going to ask if people can read 1 and 2 verses for me, right? So this is an interesting story, and we're going to look at the character in that story called Gehazi, or Gehazi, whichever you want to pronounce it, G-E-H-A-Z-I, Gehazi. And he was the servant of Elisha, just like how Elisha was the servant of Elijah. He took over that role of being a servant for Elisha, when Elijah got translated. And so, you know, with these characters, there are many things we can learn from these Bible characters. Sometimes we find them far removed, but they're going through the exact same things and worries that we go through. Yeah. And so we want to be able to learn from their actions, sometimes from their mistakes, so that we don't do the same things. Now, some of them, of course, were great men and women of God. But some of these unnamed people, they are very precious to the story. And I think this is one of the unnamed ones, because in that story, if we read that chapter, to be honest, the two things that we look out for in those two chapters is what are the two stories that we grasp onto in those two stories? If anyone knows that those two chapters of the book. We grasp on to the widow, to the Shunammite woman, right? Yeah, and we grasp on to the story of Naaman, isn't it? In 2 Kings 4 and 5. Those are the two stories we always hold on to. But I want us to hold on to another story this evening, and it's the story of Gehazi. He's in this story. He is one such person, and he appears just within these two chapters, and I think a very short time in chapter 8, but very short. But his appearance brings some very important lessons that we as Christians need to learn. So who is he and what we can learn? Let's see what we can learn from him. So he's first mentioned in 2 Kings 4 verse 12. Someone read that for me, please. 2 Kings 4 verse 12.
And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto...
That was it, Sister Dawn. Thank you. Just 12. So that's the first time he's mentioned. And he's mentioned as being the servant of Elisha. And Elisha is sending him out. Elijah is sending him to do something. Now you can imagine that Gehazi had seen many miracles taking place. He had witnessed a childless woman and her old husband had a child, and you find that in Sister Dawn. Just read verse 17 for me again. Chapter 4, verse 17. Read that for me, please.
And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life.
Right. So Gehazi was witness to this. Yeah. He had seen a barren woman who now gave birth. And when that woman's child, we know the story, had a boy and he died. But then what happened to the little boy? Sister Dawn, read verse 35 to 37 for me.
Okay. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out.
So two huge miracles Gehazi had seen. This is the ones that we know he has seen. He may have seen many before that. So he had saw a poisonous pot of soup be purified and was safe to eat again. Someone read verses 38 to 41 for me, please.
And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and here footage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild grounds, his laps full, and came and shed them into the pot of porridge, for they knew them not.
They poured out
for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the portage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out the pour out for the people, and they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot.
So he had seen a poisonous pot of stew become harmless. And what he also experienced was also 100 people satisfied themselves with just a few portion of food, and with a lot of leftovers as well. So if someone else could read verses 42 to 44.
And there came a man from Baal-Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto that the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before? 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus said the Lord, they shall eat and shall live thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord.
Does that remind you of any miracle that's going to happen in the future? Does that remind you of any other miracle? Very similar to that?
Yes, when the Lord gave the 5,000 the bread.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was 12 baskets of leftovers?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, imagine, right? These are just some of the accounts that we have. And imagine Gehazi was very fortunate to have witnessed all of this. Witness what Elijah did, and it says according to the word of the Lord. And it must have been, you know, exciting to be a part of this. Remember, he was Elijah's servant, so he would have been a part of all these wonderful miracles. But what happened now is really interesting, because in 2 Kings 5, after seeing all of this wonderful things around him, in 2 Kings 5, we start to see that something is wrong with his heart. Can anyone guess what do you think might be in his heart?
Envy.
Is it greed?
Greed. Thank you. Was that Sharon? Sharon?
Yeah.
Yeah, greed. Greed start to come into Gehazi's heart. And in 2 Kings 5 now, we read how this is where now we get the story of Naaman, you know, the Syrian commander. And he was mighty, although he had leprosy. And how he was searching for healing and later was directed by the little maiden to Elisha, and who gave him, you know, the instructions to dip into the Jordan 7 times. And so Naaman was healed after following those instructions. And in his happiness, he urged Elijah to receive some gifts that he has bought. Remember, he bought some gifts for Elijah, but Elijah said no, didn't he? He said, no, I don't need that. But guess who was watching? Gehazi. He had something else on his mind, and he wanted the gifts for himself. Hear what happens now. This is the twist in the thriller, in the dramatic thriller. Someone read for me. So this is now, we're on chapter 5, verses 20 to 25. Look what happens. After he has seen all these wonderful miracles, look what happened. If someone could read for me. So this is chapter 5, verses 20 to 25.
Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, my master has not accepted that Naaman the Aramean brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and get something from him. So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got off the chariot to meet Gehazi. He asked, "Is everything all right?" Gehazi said, "Everything is all right. My master has sent me," he said. "Two young men from the groups of prophets in the mountains of Ephraim just came to me. Please give them 3,000 pieces of silver and 2 changes of clothes." Naaman said, "Please take 6,000 pieces," and he urged Gehazi to take it. He tied 68 kilograms of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes. Then he gave them to 2 of his servants to carry for Gehazi. When they came to the hill, Gehazi took these things from Naaman's servants and put them in the house. Then he let Naaman's servants go, and they left. When he came in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "I didn't go anywhere," he answered.
Okay. Do you see that?
Liar.
Thank you. Who just said that? Who just said
Donna.
That?
Donna.
Yeah, that's the first thing. He sat down, Donna, and plotted what he was going to do. You see the twist in the story now. This is where the drama's coming together. He sat down and he plotted what he was going to do. Then run after Naaman and said, "Elisha sent me."
Can you imagine?
Really? No. Yeah. Sorry. Carry on, Donna.
No. I'm just saying, can you imagine? You see, when we see what greed does when you want, you know what? Let me take opportunity from this man.
So you see how Jesus looks at us from within. Because look at what Gehazi had seen. And from the outside, he would be seen as a man of God, a man who knew what God is capable of. But look what is inside him. It's dangerous, isn't it? And this is why God says, man, look at the outside, because outside looks good and pretty. But God looks at the heart, because it's inside, is what's inside us that is most important. All right, here comes the drama now, because it's not finished. We have a couple more twists in this story. So he hatched this devious plan, right, to get Naaman's gift. And after he brings 2 other servants with him, then he sends them home without the gifts, and he takes it for himself, right? So he's not even sharing it with them. So upon returning home now to Elijah, he lied on Elijah in now an attempt to keep all the silver and all the garments that he had acquired. All right, let's see now what verse 26 and 27 says. What does 26 and 27 say now?
But Elisha said to him, "My spirit was with you. I knew you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you. This isn't a time to take money, clothes, olives, grapes, sheep, oxen, male servants or female servants. So Naaman's skin disease will come on you and your children forever." When Gehazi left Elisha, he had the disease and was as white as snow.
Wow. Do you hear the consequence of his deceit? He was rebuked by Elisha, and then he took on what Naaman had. Not only him, but guess who else? The poor man's children, who didn't even do nothing. His own descendants.
Greed.
There is so much we can learn from this small character that we only find in these 2 chapters. So much. You see, we can see God move in this moment, and yet there's no humility in someone's life. That is sad, isn't it? This is why I started out with saying that, you know, we as Christians, we as Seventh-day Adventist believers, you know, we can cling to the doctrines of the church, and we can say we're in the last day church, and we are in the church of truth. But yet inside us, there is no humility. There is no outside. We look good. We have seen God do so many things and move, and yet still there is no humility in us. We haven't changed. Our character hasn't changed. Yeah. So it the spiritual gifts that we have to do things and our characters are two different things. The spiritual gift that God gives us to work on his behalf. See, Gehazi, he was Elisha's servant to work on behalf of God. And yet his character was totally opposed to that. It was all about acquiring things for himself. That is a dangerous position for us to be in. Dangerous position. The other thing we can learn from this little character here, which, yes, I keep saying little character, but it's such a big lesson, is serving God has the benefits. We see what he saw with Elijah, but it also has its challenges. Because when we serve God, this story is telling us we are not immune to temptation. We're not immune. Look what happened to Gehazi. He saw the gifts and the many things that Naaman had, you know, and Naaman was giving it to Elisha. And Elisha said, no, that's okay. I don't need that. But his eyes got very big and he was tempted and he couldn't overcome that temptation. So even with serving God and having God in our lives, it doesn't mean we are immune. Pardon me. From temptation. And so, you know, we've got to be careful with our hearts and minds. We have to be careful because sometimes, you know, a temptation may come. And I tell you, we have to turn to the Lord because of ourselves, we are able to do nothing. We can't resist, pardon me, the devil without God being with us. The other thing we can learn from this wonderful story is that consequences follows our choice. Even when we serve God, look at the unpleasant circumstances that followed Gehazi. Yeah, look at he got the leprosy. Not only him, but his descendants. Even when we spend time in church and we're in positions of power or whatever, sin is sin. And it can have dangerous consequences, you know. And so we have to repent of our sins. We have to renounce of them and come to God. So, you know, being in service in the church, just like I said before, will not atone for our sins. Only Christ can do that. I just want to read a quick passage for you. It says, this good servant of Elisha, pardon me, who was well taught of by the royal court, as well as by the prophet, had succumbed to one moment of temptation and let himself down badly. But it seems to me that his greatest mistake was not to repent when he was given the opportunity. Remember, Elisha asked him where he went. What did you do? And he didn't repent. If only he had confessed when challenged, the judgment upon him would undoubtedly have been different. As it was, Gehazi had to live the rest of his life bearing the marks and suffering and consequences of his sinfulness. However, it seems the form of leprosy he carried was not contagious because apparently he continued to serve with Elijah, because it's mentioned in chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. So you see how God is merciful. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's blessing and gifts cannot be bought? He gives them freely out of abundance of his grace. How could we possibly repay God for his gift of salvation? Not to mention all the other blessings he showers upon us. Gehazi needed to understand this, as well as the fact that true service to God is born of love and devotion and seek no personal gain, but in the form of people's praise, and material reward. Are our eyes focused on the main chance or on serving our Heavenly Master, do our lives bear the mark of devoted service to our Lord and Savior? And so this is what I wanted us to kind of focus on this evening. And I hope it gives us food for thought. What is our eyes focused on? Is our eyes focused on the reward that we will get, like it says, through people's praise and compliments for what we do in service of God? Or are we doing service of God because it's out of love and the abundance of God's grace that we want to pay it forward? What is our eyes focused on? And I pray that we will remember that it is only through Christ that we can atone for our sins. It is only by repenting of the things that we've done wrong and asking God to forgive us. He told us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, you know, He is faithful and just to pardon me, to forgive us. So I pray that we remember that, you know, it is not being in service that will save us, but it's through Christ that we will be saved. And even with us being in the church, we can still succumb to temptations, but God is merciful and He will help us if we just come to Him. It's a wonderful little story in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of this character called Gehazi, and I pray that we can learn from him. There are wonderful characters in the Bible that we can learn from, and we go through the same things that they do. And I just pray that we remember that, you know, it's not the outside that accounts for someone, but it's the inside. What is inside them? What is their character inside? And that is what God looks on. And I pray that for each and every one of us here and going forward, that we pray that God is working on the fruits of the Spirit within us, that that is what we portray to the world. Amen. Thank you so much all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this dramatic thriller tonight. And is there, before we pray, is there any prayer requests? No? Everyone's gone quiet on me. Okay. All right. Shall we pray?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh, wonderful Father in heaven, we're thankful, Father God, that we have your word to continue to look at and continue to learn from and continue, Lord, to educate ourselves and to understand who you are. Lord, we just give you thanks that you are faithful and just. And when we come to you, Father God, I pray, Lord, that we will repent of the things that we do, that we will pour our hearts out to you, that we will know that it is only through you, it is only by you that we can be saved. Father God, help us not to be reliant on the fact that we are Christians to be saved, but help us to rely on the fact that we have a relationship with you and that you are working on us every day to be ever so much more like you, to have a character like you. Help us to not rely on our own strength. Help us to not rely on our own understanding, Father God, but to lean on you for everything that we need. Help us, Lord, also not to see the outside of someone, but to understand that it is you that is working within us. So sometimes, Lord, we can look so nice and clean outside, but inside, Lord, we are not of you. And so, Father God, I just pray that you will help us, Lord, to seek you every day so that your fruits, your spirit, your character can continue to be molded in us each and every day. But we have to step out and come to you and die to ourselves each day. Because, Lord, without taking on your character, Father God, our sinful nature will take over. And we will seek the things that are temporal. We will seek the things that we can hold on to. And, Lord, we know that it's the things that are eternal that we need to hold on to. So help us, Lord, to just try and nurture the time we spend with you so that your character can be molded within us and can shine out of us. Your light can shine out of us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we can spend these few moments with you and just continue to learn from your word. Lord, may they not just be words that we read and just, you know, and enjoy the stories, but Lord, we take them on. We learn these fruitful messages, Father God. May they be an example in our lives, and may they change the way we think and deal with each other. Lord, I just want to pray for those who are ill at this time, yes, who are going through hard times, maybe financially, maybe mentally, Father God, and those who are mourning, Father God, especially those who have been made redundant, who are about to be made redundant. Lord, we are going through a trying time, but Father God, we are holding on nevertheless to you, because we know that you are our strong tower. And so we're going to run to you so that we can be safe. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.